The Holy Gospel according to St. John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own, but will speak whatever he hears. And he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, because he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. For this reason I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. Beloved children of God, this is the good news, the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you.
You may be seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. In our gospel lesson today, Jesus utters a line that's one of my favorites, that the church should recall often and take seriously. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. The denomination, the United Church of Christ, has a slogan, God is still speaking. And I think that's at the root of what we hear in our scripture today. On Pentecost, we reflected on how the Holy Spirit not only draws us into life with the triune God, but also guides us in our life together and in our engagement in the world. God is still speaking to us. I'd be suspicious if everyone says to you, I know what God has to say, I have it all figured out, right? This is what God has to say and that's it, period. No, God is still speaking and still guiding. That's why we have the Holy Spirit. We live in a society that cannot bear the truth. Sometimes the truth is not knowing, sometimes the truth is not fully understanding why something is happening. Therefore, fundamentalism, extremism, and conspiracy theories can fill that void for so many because they claim a truth in saying we have it all figured out. But the church is called to constant discernment. Science is called to constant discernment and figuring out. It's not always having it all figured out. We're constantly trying to understand and hear what truth is in our lives. We're promised by our God that nothing will separate us from our God. That we have peace from God that surpasses all understanding. And with that peace, we should not be afraid. That in the triune God, we have nothing to fear. But that truth still scares us. That truth is still unsettling. We don't find comfort in that truth at times. So we look elsewhere for something that isn't true, but something that is more palatable. It's a truth that we cannot bear. We fill those voids motivated by a spirit of fear. And what we do inadvertently is that we isolate ourselves from God. Seeing is believing in a society that is focused solely on the material at times. Success is defined by quantifiable results. And those results better be fast, right? They better be fast in our world, in our society. We don't have patience if the results aren't immediate. And if we do not see the results now, defined by our expectations to what we can bear, then we dismiss anything and everything that does not meet our standards, including God. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. Would we respond out of fear? We are quick to hate and alienate. God's call and command is to love. And that call and command to love is lost because we cannot bear the truth of God's steadfast love. We cannot bear the truth of God's abiding presence in our lives. We cannot bear the truth that God is still speaking. We cannot bear the truth that those who we fear are the very people God is calling us to love, are the very people God is calling us to welcome, are the very people God is calling us to include. We cannot bear the truth that our God took on our flesh, our humanity, and dwelt among us. Or as I said at Christmas time, the Word became flesh, Jesus Christ tabernacled among us. We cannot bear how the Word made flesh, Jesus Christ, was showing us the way, invoking God's understanding of justice, not our understanding of justice, but God's understanding of justice, including the very people who were hated, feared, and marginalized. We could not bear that, so we nailed him to a cross. If it was up to us, we would forever choose fear over love, death over life, our way over God's way. We simply just can't bear it. The truth that the Holy Trinity offers to us is an understanding that our God is relational, that God in God's self is relational. As Glenn Munson writes, Christ comes as the Word from the Father that declares the truth, which finally breaks through our willful blindness. Christ comes and shows us on the cross that the truth about God's unfathomable love for the world. And there, what we truly are is declared to us. We are beloved of God, even in our hubris. We are beloved, even in our ignorance. We are beloved of God, because God is love. The mystery of God that we encounter in the Holy Trinity is not a God we have all figured out, but a God whose economy is love, an economy of love that is freely shared. So we're invited into this economy and life with God. The gift of faith enables us to see this, to see God's abiding presence with us in the beauty that we experience in the world. That is God. In the hope that we have in the future, we got that in Paul's letter to the Romans today, right? We can see hope in the future. That is God. In the depth of human experience, that is God. In the love that we experience, that is God. And it is the gift of faith that, because all human beings experience this, right? All will say, yeah, I experience all those things, but there's the gift of faith that enables us to declare it as God. God is. Moses hears at the burning bush, I am. Not one being among many, because God is part of God's nature is existence itself. That is the nature and essence of God. We see in the ways that God seeks to come to us, promises to dwell with us in a particular way when gathered around word and sacrament, because God is still speaking to us every time we center ourselves in the word. When we find strength in the sacraments, God is speaking and dwelling with us, tabernacling within us. We see and experience the God who is love when we're invited into the economy and relationship of the love that is experienced within the triune God. The truth is that when we are given the gift of faith, we not only can bear this truth, but we're embodied to share it. God's response to our inability to receive the Word made flesh, Jesus Christ, is to love us. God's justice is to make us right with God. God's response is not to retaliate or to seek retribution, but to draw us back into this divine economy of love. This is the image of God that dwells with us. This is the image of God that we bear in the world. The church shares in this economy of love that continues to listen to a God that is still speaking and reminding us of the love that our God desires for all people to have and experience to be drawn into. For there are many hurting by the words and actions of many in this world, by the words and actions of even those who claim Jesus to be their Savior, there are many that are hurting. Which is why we can't be silent in word and deed, but share the truth that we can now bear, so that healing and love can be experienced in a world that dwells in fear of neighbor. We can bear the truth to love God and our neighbor, as Jesus not only showed us, but commanded us to do. We can bear the truth to bear witness to a God who is so transformative in the love that we've received that there are no limitations, because that is the hope and promise that we have in the cross. That is God's work that enables us to dwell in this divine economy of God's love now and forever. So, beloved children of God, go out and share this love that has transformed you and that you've experienced, that all may know and bear that truth